When someone asks you, what do you believe as a Christian, how do you respond? Do you have a confession of faith? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, I Believe. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Mark Hemingway answers the question, why Lutheranism with why not? Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We should always be careful with the words we choose. It's not easy to do, especially in an era, in a forum where we find ourselves kind of speaking off the cuff almost constantly. On subjects like abortion, we ought to carefully choose our words. We want to speak the truth. We want to speak the truth in love. But there are times when strong language simply cannot be avoided, especially with regard to the subject of abortion. So when and how do we speak about it? Dr. James Lamb joins us on this Tuesday afternoon to answer that question. He's executive director of Lutherans for Life based in Nevada, Iowa. He's author of articles in the recent LifeDate newsletter titled A Time to Speak and Compelled to Speak. Dr. Lamb, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
You talk about a time when you were taken to task by someone when you were speaking about abortion. You used the term slaughter, and you were chided for using language that was too strong for the subject. How do you respond?
Well, I feel the same way now as I did back then. I disagreed with the fact that using slaughter to describe abortion was too strong. If you look that word up in the dictionary, you'll find definitions like the brutal killing of a person or of a large number of people. Well, that's abortion. It's very brutal. Babies shredded through suction tubes, dismembered by curettes, and there are large numbers, well over 3,000 every day in the United States. So abortion is a slaughter, and sometimes you need to call it what it is so people will maybe perk up their ears, and we become so numb to what abortion is, and using a word like slaughter might help get some attention.
Relate that, if you would, to what you talk about in one of your articles, that we are, as Christians who know the truth, not only about abortion, those facts, but also how we ought to view it according to God's word, that we as Christians are fairly compelled to say something. You say it isn't something that abortion isn't something where we should say, well, you know, I really ought to get around to doing something about that.
Yes, as I wrote this article, I say in there that I really admonished myself in this article too, because if abortion indeed is a slaughter, then what am I doing about it? What am I doing to stop the slaughter? And sometimes I need to be reminded that because of what abortion is and what it does, we are compelled to address it. The word slaughter is used also of our Savior, and I point that out, that he was led like a lamb to the slaughter for us. And so Jesus gave himself for us. So I know that I'm forgiven for my lack of zeal and lack of energy and lack of speaking sometimes on the issue of abortion. But he also died for those babies that were aborting. And if that's not a compulsion to speak for them, I don't know what is. We have a Savior who shed his blood for them. Every human being, including those little babies in the womb and embryos in petri dishes, grandmas in nursing home beds, every human being is someone for which our Savior shed his blood, and then, as we are celebrating now, rose again from the dead. So we're not dealing with just something in the womb. We're dealing with someone, but it's even more than that. Someone God has created, someone for whom Jesus died, and someone he wants to call into an eternal relationship with him. That's what compels us to speak up for the little ones. It's what God has done that gives them value.
Do you think that advocates for the unborn have conceded too many times by toning down the language. I mean, we don't want to be unnecessarily offensive, but we also don't want to sugarcoat any of this. Do you think we've toned it down too much?
I think sometimes we do. I probably have done it myself, where you're in a situation and you don't want to stir things up. So you tone it down. It's all part of living in this culture that we're in, where it's so pervasive, the idea that abortion is the termination of a pregnancy, abortion is a choice, abortion is the only way out of a difficult situation. And so we become lulled by that language and by that kind of thinking. And so we as Christians, we need to go back to the scriptures every once in a while and remind ourselves of the fact that this truly is a slaughter of those whom God wants to call in Christ as his own. So we do, you said it, we do need to speak the truth in love, certainly, but we do need to speak the truth and not sugarcoat it.
Does speaking the truth in love, I mean, because sometimes love does and sometimes love doesn't, but does speaking the truth in love often mean calling the thing what it is, as shocking as it might be to everyone involved?
Yes, I think it does. I think we have to help people, especially in the church. Now, you know, in that Bible verse we're quoting from Ephesians, speak the truth in love, the whole context there is not speaking the truth in love in society there. That's in the church to one another. We need to speak the truth in love. Why? Paul says, so we can be united, grow up unto our head, who is Jesus Christ. You don't grow up in unity by ignoring things that we disagree upon and just say, well, we won't talk about it, and then we'll be able to get along. Now, unity is not getting along. Unity is agreeing on truth, and so we need to speak truth. And sometimes to get people to understand what that truth is, you need to make it clear to them what is involved in something like abortion, for example. And you don't have to do that by putting an aborted baby's picture in front of their face and being abrasive with it, but you can. I've stood in front of groups and just matter-of-factly, from a very medical point of view, just described what abortion procedures are. And so many people don't realize how these little babies are being killed. So we can speak it, but the truth. And we can do it in a manner that reveals the truth, but doesn't push people away at the same time.
What do you say to someone, and this would probably apply especially to pastors, who are called to publicly speak, to teach, to preach? A pastor who might say, well, you know, Dr. Lamb, I don't, it's not a subject of my sermons, and I don't tend to go that direction, or I don't tend to bring up the subject in Bible class, because you got to know that there are women, there are men in the congregation in the Bible class who've been involved in this, and I could really turn them off.
That's an understandable concern. Had that concern myself when I was a parish pastor. I dealt with that, struggled with that. But if you look at really what you're saying, is that, you know, we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ this powerful and positive message. We have what these men and women really need, because those who are out there who have been crushed by their sin, now there are some who may not have been, but those that we think we're going to offend because they've had an abortion, who've been crushed by that sin, and it's a burden upon them, there's really only one thing that can heal, and that's the gospel of forgiveness in Jesus Christ, this objective message of forgiveness. And if we have that, and we don't proclaim it to them and to the sin of abortion, then to me that's a greater offense, to have this powerful message of healing that they need to hear and then withdraw it effectively.
So, not speaking to individual Christians or pastors, but to the church as a whole, that kind of never gets a day off, always stands in the public square there as not just moral conscience of a nation or of a people, but it is in the world, but not of the world, just as every individual Christian is. Is there ever a time when the church ought to remain silent on the issue of abortion? About a minute before we break.
No, I can't think of a time when we want to remain silent. My dad used to say, if you don't have anything to say, don't prove it by talking. But if you have something to say, and something that's powerful and positive and life-affirming and life-changing, then there's no time for silence. It's time to speak. And we have that message. And, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to be on this program as I am, and I know I say it every time I'm on, but we have this most powerful message in the gospel, and to not speak it and apply it to these issues is an offense, an offense to the gospel, an offense to the creator and author and redeemer of life. So we are compelled. It's always a time to speak. We need to speak it to one another in our churches, and then we need to speak it in our society, start where people are at, use their own words, their language, but eventually bring them to understand the value of life and the God-given value of life. And in society, these issues become really mission opportunities for proclaiming that gospel message. So no, it's always a time to speak when it comes to issues like abortion.
Dr. James Lamb is Executive Director of Lutherans for Life based in Nevada, Iowa. He's authored several articles in the recent LifeDate newsletter titled Time to Speak and Compelled to Speak. You'll find a link to Lutherans for Life under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Lamb, thank you.
You are very welcome.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, April the 2nd, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is going to join us. We're going to talk with her about two issues. Last week's March for Marriage, the very first, in Washington, D.C., and we'll also talk about the Supreme Court challenges to DOMA and to Prop 8, the Supreme Court of same-sex marriage with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Then we'll spend the better part of that hour discussing the season of Easter, now that the day of Easter has come and gone. We are in the season of Easter. We'll discuss it with Pastor Heath Curtis. Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. in 5 minutes. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois, issuesetc.org.